Ja, vi siger rigtig hjertelig velkommen her i aften til alle, som har indfundet sig. Og a special welcome to the Israeli ambassador and his wife. Been looking forward to this, or count it a very great privilege that you would come here. And your staff always also. So we believe we will have a good night here and we will celebrate the friendship between Denmark and Israel. There are people in Denmark who love Israel, and we've counted some a very great privilege that you are here and talk to us and be together with us this night. I have a little word here that I feel just a little from a psalm of one of the greatest kings of Israel. It must be David. And it's written here by David, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say." That's a very real verse of scripture when we think of the wars who had been there in Israel, where the enemy were far greater in number than Israel was. But God was with Israel at that time. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. When man rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters have overwhelmed us, and the stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and Israel have escaped. Praise God. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And I found that this verse of scripture here was just what you have been through in Israel and have experienced in Israel. Had it not been for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the enemy has destroyed us. So Israel saying. So welcome and we'll sing this song here, "How Great Thou Art." And after that,
sweetly in the trees, when I look down. till the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I can't take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Mr. Ambassador and his wife, we're so happy to have you here with us tonight. And the whole congregation, we're looking forward to an evening of a special kind. And now, some very special songs will be sung in the honor of our guests tonight. And the story, I've been asked to say a little about what the story is behind these songs. And a few days ago, I visited Mr. Avnon in the embassy, and I told him a little about the story of the Papuans. This people from the jungle on New Guinea, the west side of New Guinea, who suddenly 40 of them were standing in the desert of Israel, where we are living. And they said, we saw in our book, which we received 150 years ago. They've only had the Bible for 150 years. We saw in the book that if we bless Israel, we shall be blessed. But we are poor people, they said. And we couldn't come empty-handed. So we have gold in our rivers, and we have gathered gold. And they brought 1 kilo of gold for the temple in Jerusalem. And they said, will you go with us to the temple in Jerusalem? And we said, but there's no temple. These people are from the jungle. There's no temple in Jerusalem. No, but there's a temple institute. So they gave this gold to the rabbis and the temple institute, and I saw how the rabbis wept. And they said, and this is in one of the songs, He said, we are not weeping because of the gold. We are weeping because it's written in the book of Isaiah that when they come from the distant islands with gold to the sanctuary, then Messiah is around the corner. So the first song which Bo Nielsen, he has written the music. And the first song is about the Papuan people when they arrive. And the second song is
Paradise Bird.
And they gave us some feather hats which are made of the Paradise Bird. They come from the Paradise Islands. So these two first songs will be sung now in honor of you and your presence here. And later, the last two songs, which were all performed in the Arava Desert on the 12th of October for a small public. And tonight is the second performance here in Tostrup in Blokhillekirken. So, thank you, Bo. And
thank you.
Shavua Tov. Shavua Tov. Shavua means week. Tov.
Shavua betyder uge.
Tov means good.
Tov betyder god.
And of course, in the Jewish faith, now, about now, a few hours ago, started a new week.
Og i den jødiske tro, så er vi ved at være omkring den tid for et par timer siden, startet en ny uge.
In the old Jewish tradition, everything is divided according to time. The year, the month, the week, the day.
I gammel jødisk tradition så er alt delt op i tid. I måneder, uger, dage.
Shabbat was today, the Sabbath, the seventh day when the Almighty rested after creating the world.
Shabbaten, det er i dag, det er lørdagen. Det er den dag, hvor at Gud hvilede efter, at han havde skabt verden.
So as it goes by the Jewish tradition, the new day starts in the evening before.
Så som det går på den jødiske måde, så starter den nye dag aftenen inden.
I felt like I wanted to join the beautiful music here.
Jeg følte det som om jeg havde lyst til at tage del i den smukke musik.
Because this music I know comes from the heart.
Fordi jeg ved at den her musik kommer fra hjertet.
When Dina and I went in, we felt the warmth and the friendship.
Da mig og Dina kom ind, så følte vi varmen og venskabet.
Everything you prepared, starting with the invitation, two invitations in two colors, white and blue, like the flag of Israel.
Det hele vejen igennem, helt fra invitationerne med to farver, hvid og blå.
And all the decorations, which I know that some of them were made especially, the flags on the doors and everywhere else.
Det hele, dekorationerne, alle de flag, der blev sat op rundt omkring på dørene.
All of this, and especially the wonderful singing, really feels so good. It feels like I am among friends.
Hele stemningen, det hele, det føles virkelig som om, at vi er blandt venner.
I would like maybe in the time which was so generously given to me.
Jeg kunne godt tænke mig i den tid, som jeg har fået.
I would like to share with you some thoughts.
Så vil jeg gerne dele nogle tanker med jer.
But from a somewhat different perspective than probably most people expect from an ambassador.
Men måske fra en lidt anden vinkel, end de fleste mennesker vil være forberedt på at høre fra en ambassadør.
I think that people expect an ambassador, especially of Israel, to stand and make fiery speeches like at the United Nations, as we do on international stages when we speak on behalf of Israel, trying to get friends for Israel where they are not.
Jeg tror, at man vil forvente en ambassadør, måske især en israelsk ambassadør, til at stille sig op og holde store, flotte taler om, hvordan vi skal hjælpe til i verden, hvor vi skal prøve at finde venner der, hvor der ikke er venner.
But I would like to speak about the subject of the ingathering of the exiles, as I saw it with my own eyes as a child and probably now as a man who is not so young anymore.
Men jeg kunne godt tænke mig at tage det fra en vinkel, som handler om indsamlingen af de jøder, der levede i eksil, fra et perspektiv, som jeg selv så.
In order to do that, I have to be somewhat impolite.
For at kunne gøre det, skal jeg være lidt uhøflig.
Because I will talk about myself, and that is not considered to be polite.
Det kræver, at jeg skal tale om mig selv, og det er ikke betragtet som værende høfligt.
I come from a family which lived for many generations in Europe, in Eastern Europe.
Jeg kommer fra en familie, som har levet mange generationer i Østeuropa.
In Romania.
I Rumænien.
And it was a family which carried its name, its Jewish name, for many generations. We don't know for how many.
Det er en familie, som har båret vores jødiske navn gennem mange generationer. Vi er ikke helt sikre på, hvor mange.
But then I was born and I was given a non-Jewish name.
Men så blev jeg født, og jeg fik et ikke-jødisk navn.
How did it happen?
Hvordan kunne det ske?
My name Arthur.
Mit navn Arthur.
Is after a Christian.
Er efter en kristen.
Who helped my parents survive the Nazi occupation in Western Europe.
Som hjalp min familie med at overleve nazismen i Vesteuropa.
I said west, it's east.
East. Jeg sagde vest, jeg mente øst.
I apologize for not speaking Danish and even my English, I mix it up already.
Jeg undskylder, at jeg ikke snakker dansk, og at jeg allerede roder rundt i mit engelsk.
But maybe it is because I did think about Western Europe. I did think, as I think very often, about Denmark. And I should say that if my parents lived in Denmark, maybe those of my family who did not return from the Holocaust would have lived today.
Men jeg sagde det måske fordi at jeg tit har tænkt på Vesteuropa og på at hvis min familie havde levet i Vesteuropa, så kunne der måske have været nogle af dem som ikke kom hjem, som kunne have overlevet.
The day my father and mother decided to get on a ship and go to the newly created state of Israel.
Den dag, hvor mine forældre besluttede sig for at tage ombord på et skib og sejle til den nye stat Israel.
Was a nice day in September of 1950.
Var en dejlig dag i september 1950.
When a ship carrying the flag of Israel sailed from the port of Constanza in Romania to the port of Haifa.
Da et skib sejlede med det israelske flag fra Constanza i Rumænien
til
havnen Constanza i Rumænien til Haifa.
We were but just one family out of tens of thousands and tens of thousands of people.
Vi var bare en enkelt familie ud af 10.000 og 10.000 mennesker.
Who came with nothing except the clothes which they were wearing.
Som kom blot med det tøj som vi havde på kroppen.
They came and there were no homes even to put us in.
Vi kom der ned og der var ikke nogen hjem som vi kunne bo i.
So each family received a tent on the beach south of the port of Haifa.
Så hver familie modtog et telt og blev så henvist til den sydlige del af Haifa på en strand.
And the tents could be seen as far as the eye could see. Tents upon tents upon tents.
Og de her telte kunne se så langt ned ad stranden som øjet rakte. Tente, eller telte, telte og atter telte.
And then the winter came, which in Israel should not be so harsh as in some parts of Europe.
Så kom vinteren, som normalt i Israel ikke er så hård som i visse dele af Europa.
And this was the harshest winter in the history of that region, the winter of 1950-1951.
Men det viste sig at blive den hårdeste vinter i den region nogensinde. Det var vinteren 1950-1951.
It snowed in Tel Aviv. There was snow up to the knees, which never happened in Tel Aviv.
I Tel Aviv lå der sne op i knæhøjde. Det aldrig sket før i Tel Aviv.
But there in Haifa, where we were, the tents were blown away by the wind.
Men i Haifa, hvor vi var, der blev teltene blæst væk af vinden.
And so, as a 4 years old child, I don't have many memories, but that memory I have. It was the memory of sitting in the middle of the night on a metal bed, which was given to us by the Jewish Agency, looking at the sky, at the freezing rain coming down upon all of us.
Jeg var kun 4, så jeg har ikke mange hukommelser fra den tid. Men jeg har en hukommelse. Det var, at jeg sad på en metalbænk, som vi havde fået af de israelske myndigheder. Og vi sad og kiggede op i det kolde regnvejr op på en kold, mørk himmel.
Now please imagine.
Prøv at forestille jer.
There were at the time in the newly born state of Israel less than 1 million people.
Der var engang i den tidlige del af den nyetablerede stat Israel under 1 million mennesker.
But in less than 2 years, that small community took in more than 1.5 million refugees from Europe, from Arab countries, from the entire world.
Den her mindre end 1 million mennesker, det her samfund, tog på under 2 år over 1.5 million mennesker ind, flygtninge fra Europa, fra de arabiske lande, fra hele verden.
Imagine that Denmark was less than 1 million people.
Forestil jer, at Danmark havde mindre end 1 million indbyggere.
And you all had to take in 1.5 million additional.
Men at vi så skulle tage 1.5 million ekstra mennesker ind.
Just in less than 1.5 years.
På 1.5 år.
So is that the ingathering of the exiles, or is it not?
Så er det indsamlingen af folk, der var i eksil, eller er det ikke?
The existence of the state of Israel was not assured at the time.
Eksistensen af staten Israel var ikke stadfæstet på det tidspunkt.
The big powers of the world, the United States,
de store magter i verden, USA,
and the Soviet Union,
og Sovjetunionen,
did not believe that the state of Israel was going to survive.
Troede ikke på, at staten Israel ville overleve.
Nevertheless, not only we did survive, but I think, if I could say, we are doing quite well.
Men ikke bare overlevede vi, men hvis jeg må have lov at sige det, så klarede vi os ret så godt.
But those of you who go to Israel, how many of you have been to Israel, please? Who? So.
Dem af jer, som tager til Israel, hvor mange har været der?
Okay. Most of you.
De fleste af jer.
Those of you who were maybe impressed by the modern life, by advancements, by the economy, by the technology there.
Dem af jer, som var imponeret over livsstilen, over moderniseringen, teknologien.
Maybe know that this did not come easy.
I bør også vide, at det var ikke noget, der kom let.
It took a lot of sweat, but also of blood.
Det tog meget sved, men også blod.
The sweat was the sweat of working hard.
Sveden kom af meget hårdt arbejde.
And the blood came in so many wars which were launched upon us, unfortunately.
Blodet kom fra alle de krige, som er kommet ind over os.
And I would like just to share with you the fact that war, when it happens in a distant place in the world,
jeg vil gerne dele med jer, at krig, når det sker i et
does not have the same meaning in the eyes of the onlooker as in the eyes of those who have to live under it.
Når krig sker, så ser man ikke på det på samme måde, hvis man er langt væk, som man gør, hvis man er midt i det.
Sometimes when Israel is looked upon from afar, there are people who say you could have done things in another way to prevent war. You could have done this, you could have done that. Why aren't you doing this and that now? It is quite easy to say that from a distance.
Nogle gange, hvis man står på afstand, og man ser på de ting, som er sket i Israel, så kan man sige, hvorfor har I ikke valgt at gøre det sådan? Hvis I havde gjort sådan, kunne I have undgået en krig, eller også skulle I måske gøre det på en anden måde, og vi kunne også give nogle gode idéer.
I declared before that I will not carry out some ambassadorial political speech, and I will not do that.
Jeg sagde før, at jeg ikke vil kaste en ambassadørtale udover jer, og det vil jeg heller ikke gøre.
Nevertheless, I would like to continue on the personal note and tell you what I saw in the Six-Day War.
På den anden side, så vil jeg gerne gå videre med noget mere personligt og fortælle jer lidt om, hvad jeg så i Seksdagskrigen.
The Six-Day War caught me when I was a young student in university. I just started immediately after my mandatory military service. I was in the reserves.
Seksdagskrigen startede, da jeg lige var blevet student. Jeg var lige startet på studiet på universitetet, og jeg havde lige færdiggjort min værnepligt.
It was on the 15th of May 1967 when the president of Egypt started declaring that all the Jews, of course living in the land of Israel, are going to be slaughtered.
Det var da på den 16. What date was it again? The 16th of
15th of May 1967.
15. maj 67, da den egyptiske kongen begyndte at proklamere, at alle jøder, der boede i Israel, ville blive slagtet eller dræbt.
As far as the date is concerned, there is not going to be a test after, so it's not that important.
Angående datoen, så laver vi ikke nogen test bagefter, så I behøver ikke bekymre jer.
The Egyptians chased away the United Nations forces which separated between us until then.
Egypterne, de jagede UN på flugt. Det var de fredsbevarende styrker, som holdt os adskilt indtil da.
They closed the straits of the Red Sea leading towards our ports where we used to get our energy from, the oil.
De lukkede ned for tilgangen til vejen ind til Elat over havet, hvor vi plejede at få vores ressourcer ind til at kunne holde energien, olie og andet.
Syria started mobilizing its forces in the north.
Syrien, de mobiliserede deres styrker op nordpå.
And it looked like Israel again was going to be destroyed.
Og det så endnu en gang ud som om, at Israel ville blive ødelagt.
From the 15th of May until the beginning of June, on the 5th and 6th of June 1967, there were almost 3 weeks where everybody was waiting to see what was going to happen.
Fra den 15. maj 67 til den 5. 6. juni samme år var der 3 uger, hvor at alle sammen spændt ventede på, hvad ville der ske nu.
The entire world was looking upon that.
Hele verden kiggede på.
And nobody did anything except bla 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 bla.
Og der var ikke nogen, der gjorde noget som helst andet end bla 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 bla.
Bla bla was peace, 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 no war and so on. But nobody moved to stop what was going to be the second disaster of the Jewish people after the Holocaust.
Bla bla var folk, der talte om fred og om at stoppe en krig. Og hvordan man ikke skulle have den her krig, som viser sig at blive den anden Ja, den anden største ulykke over Israel.
Frankly, I was scared and I was not thinking about myself at all. I was thinking about my family.
Jeg var rigtig bange, og det var ikke fordi jeg tænkte på mig selv, det var fordi jeg tænkte på min familie.
Survivors of the Holocaust.
Overlevende af Holocaust.
I was thinking of the girl that I was dating at the time, Dina.
Jeg tænkte på den pige, som jeg datede på det tidspunkt, Dina.
And then when the Israeli Air Force took off.
Og da det israelske luftvåben lettede.
To prevent that disaster from happening.
For at afværge den her katastrofe.
I'm admittedly a person who is interested in the Bible. I read the Bible, the Old Testament.
Så jeg er en person, som interesserer mig for Bibelen, for det gamle testamente.
But I was asking myself, will God help here? Because this looked really like an impossible situation.
Men jeg spurgte stadigvæk mig selv, vil Gud hjælpe i den her situation, for det så virkelig umuligt ud.
Well, now it's history. And everybody knows.
Nu er det historie, og alle sammen ved.
That the victory upon all Arab states around us, because they all converged in fighting us, that was a total victory.
Og alle ved, at vi vandt en sejr over alle de arabiske nationer, som slog sig sammen for at udslette os.
But here continues my personal story when I as a soldier.
Men her fortsætter min personlige historie, hvor at jeg som soldat
was part of a unit which was ordered to get into Sinai, the Sinai desert.
Jeg var i en deling, som blev beordret ind i Sinai.
In the middle section, that is when the border, if you can all imagine the map, there is a long border between us and Egypt, which goes from the Mediterranean to Eilat to the Red Sea. About the middle of it, we were ordered in.
Vi skulle ind i midten. Der er en lang grænse fra, som ligger op mod Egypten, og cirka midt på den grænsestrækning blev vi beordret ind.
And then north towards the Mediterranean and back, as if going east into the Gaza Strip.
Så vi skulle gå ind i Sinai, så skulle vi tage ned mod Mediterranean. Middelhavet hedder det på dansk. Og så skulle vi så tage tilbage ind mod Gaza.
Wonderful warm water, wonderful beaches around the Mediterranean, especially Israel.
Det var dejlig varme vande, og især i Middelhavet.
And it was for the first time in my life.
Det var første gang i mit liv.
That I saw with my own eyes the Palestinian refugees.
At jeg med egne øjne så de palæstinensiske flygtninge.
It was a refugee camp in the Gaza Strip.
Det var en flygtningelejr i Gazastriben.
Which looked completely deserted.
Som så fuldstændig forladt ud.
But the people were inside. Everybody was in their own. Could not call it houses, it was small shacks.
De var der alle sammen, men de var alle sammen inde i deres, man kan ikke kalde det huse, nærmere skure.
The conditions there looked terrible. The sewage was running in the street.
Forholdene var frygtelige, kloakkerne løb på gaderne.
And we could hear babies crying.
Og vi kunne høre babyer, der græd.
And we could hear mothers, Palestinian Arab mothers, trying to hush up the babies, saying to them, "Quiet, quiet! The Israelis are here."
Vi kunne høre de her eller arabiske palæstinensiske kvinder, som prøvede at tyske på deres børn og sagde, "Stille, stille! Israelerne kommer."
They were afraid.
De var bange.
They were afraid because they heard their leaders.
De var bange, fordi de hørte deres ledere.
Saying to them, for many months we are going to destroy Israel. It's going to be a victory and we are going to slaughter all the Jews. That was the word. Etbah al-Yahud. Slaughter the Jews. They used to hear it again and again. They were sure that we will do the same to them as their leaders would have done to us if they could.
De var bange, fordi de havde hørt deres ledere tale om, hvordan at de ville samle sig og tage ind og slagte jøderne. Og det udtryk, som de brugte, var at slagte jøderne. Og så var de bange for, at når nu vi kom, så ville vi gøre det samme mod dem.
I was asking myself, why is it?
Og jeg spurgte mig selv, hvorfor er det?
That these people were kept there by the Egyptians in such terrible conditions for so many years.
Hvorfor er det, at de her mennesker var blevet holdt der i den flygtningelejr i Egypterne i så mange år?
And the question, unfortunately, which was asked so many years ago, still is being asked today. Why is it that refugees, Arab refugees, are being kept in refugee camps to this day, and the Arab regimes refuse to do anything for them? They are saying to the world and to their own people, only Israel will solve this problem.
Det sørgelige er, at det spørgsmål er stadigvæk ikke besvaret, og der er stadigvæk mange flygtninge, som bor derinde, og der er ikke nogen i verden, som vil tage ansvar for det, men alle forventer, at Israel skal løse problemet.
So this was a big dilemma then. It is a dilemma now.
Det var et dilemma på den tid, og det er stadigvæk et dilemma.
And I would like to mention just one more incident from my history, my own history, which connects with the events which all of us saw yesterday happening in India.
Jeg kunne godt tænke mig at dele lige en sidste ting, som har noget at gøre med de ting, som skete i går i Indien.
Yesterday in India, as all of us know, all of you and we know,
i går i Indien, som vi alle sammen ved,
there was a terrorist fully coordinated large attack on western targets.
Så var der et meget velkoordineret terroristangreb på vestlige mål.
Some analyzers in the newspapers which I have read already on the internet say that this was the message which terrorist organizations are sending to the newly elected president in the United States.
Der er nogen i aviserne og analytikere, som mener, at det her er en besked fra terroristerne til USA's nye præsident.
I would like to maybe give for whatever it's worth my opinion.
Jeg kunne godt tænke mig, for hvad det nu må være værd, at give min mening omkring den sag.
International terrorism, as we see it today, happening all over the world.
International terrorisme, som vi ser det i dag, som sker over hele kloden.
Did not exist until the beginning of the 70s.
Eksisterede ikke før begyndelsen af 70'erne.
I joined the Foreign Service of Israel in 1972, 36 years ago.
Jeg blev en del af Foreign Service. Udlands. Det ved jeg ikke. Udlandskontoret. Tjenesten.
What is tjenesten?
Service.
Service, yeah. Okay. The Foreign Service. Okay, thank you. Our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, 1972. That year, there was an attack in Munich, in Germany, on our athletes at the Olympic Games.
Jeg blev en del af det i 1972, og det år var der et angreb i München på vores israelske atletikdeltagere til de olympiske lege.
11 athletes were murdered.
Der var 11, som blev dræbt.
And soon after, aeroplanes started to be hijacked in the sky.
Og kort efter begyndte man at hijack fly.
embassies were attacked, first Israeli embassies and then other embassies of other countries.
Så begyndte man at angribe ambassaderne rundt omkring, først israelske ambassader, så andre ambassader.
And the more success terrorist organizations had, the more they conducted their attacks.
Og jo mere succes de havde med deres terroristaktioner, jo mere blev de ved med at gøre det.
A couple of years later, I was assigned to my first position after the training period in the European Department.
Nogle år senere blev jeg så udstationeret i den europæiske deling.
And my minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, was Mr. Abba Iban. Maybe some of you remember or heard the name.
Den minister jeg arbejdede under var minister Abba Iban.
Okay. He instructed us at the European Department to draft a letter which he signed to European leaders.
Han bad os om at skrive et brev til de europæiske ledere.
In that letter, Mr. Abba Iban said,
i det brev, som han også underskrev, sagde han,
there were attacks, terrorist attacks in Europe.
At der var terroristangreb i Europa.
Our intelligence shows that the arms and the explosives did not come from nowhere. They came from Arab countries, and these Arab countries used their diplomatic mail and their embassies to provide these arms to the terrorist organizations.
I det her brev stod der, at de våben, der blev brugt til de her terroristangreb, var våben, som var blevet kanaliseret frem til terroristerne gennem de arabiske konsulater rundt omkring.
Please, leaders of Europe, said Mr. Abba Iban, talk to the Arab countries, tell them that we know about this, and do something to stop it.
Og han spurgte de europæiske myndigheder om, han sagde, vi har bevis for, at det er den her måde, det sker på. Og han spurgte dem om, hjælp os med at få det stoppet.
In most of the cases, Mr. Abba Iban did not receive an answer even.
Og i de fleste tilfælde, så modtog han ikke engang et svar.
Why? For two reasons.
Hvorfor? Det var der to grunde til.
Number one, this is Israel's problem, it's not our problem. They said this is Israel's problem, not a European problem.
Jeg ved ikke, jeg skal lige have to minutter.
Ja, ja, tag noget vand og gå. Try to continue.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I'm worried about him. I hope he will.
Yeah, he's a strong person.
Thank you. I'm very sorry. I feel like maybe I was too much pressure.
Well, no, no.
So the issue was regarded as an Israeli problem.
Og ja. Det var lagt ud som om det var et israelsk problem.
Unofficially we were told that the Arabs have all the oil and nobody is going to upset them.
Uofficielt fik vi at vide, at araberne, de har al olien, så vi skal ikke genere dem.
So today we see what we see.
Så i dag ser vi hvad vi ser.
And therefore I think that when we look at the world today,
og derfor når vi ser på verden i dag,
I think I would like to quote Ms. Tzipi Livni, my present foreign minister.
Så vil jeg gerne referere til min tidligere premierminister.
Livni. Ja. Livni. She is my foreign minister. Yeah.
Udenrigsminister Livni.
She said the day before yesterday on Thursday, she said in a speech,
hun sagde forleden dag i en tale,
Our world is under attack.
Vores verden er under angreb.
When she said our world is under attack, of course she meant the world that we know, that we want to have, the world of freedom, the world of democracy, the world of free speech, the world in which if you believe in Jesus, or if you believe in the Old Testament, or if you are a Buddhist or belong to any other religion, you should not be under attack for that.
Det hun mente, det var, at man bør have sin frihed, uanset om man tror på Jesus, er araber, eller hvor han kom, hvor man kommer fra. Det var det, hun mente i sin tale, og det var den frihed, hun siger, er under angreb.
During this attack in India, a religious Jewish religious center was attacked among other targets.
Et af målene, der blev angrebet, var et jødisk center i Indien.
So it really looks like this is a war of civilizations in which our world, and with your permission, I would like to include all of us in the same kind of world. Our world is under attack.
Så vi er under angreb. Det er vores verden, der er under angreb. Denne frihedsverden, som vi ønsker.
We believe in Israel that we should stand strong and continue to do the right thing.
Vi tror, at vi i Israel skal være stærke og stå fast politisk på vores synspunkter og standpunkter.
We in Israel make mistakes, maybe sometimes, maybe even often.
Vi i Israel gør fejl. Vi har fejl måske offentligt endda.
But I believe that generally speaking, we are trying not to do wrong and to genuinely and truly find a peaceful resolution to our conflict.
Det som vi søger ærligt talt, det er en løsning, civiliseret løsning på problemerne.
And Denmark is a country which is friendly to Israel, and I am grateful for being positioned here in Denmark to serve my country in a friendly country.
Og Danmark er et venligt land over for Israel, og jeg er glad for at være i dette land, i dette venlige land, som er over for Israel.
I met representatives of your church already several times in the past, and I'm really moved. I can tell you, I cannot remain indifferent to the warmth and the big heart that you are all showing towards Israel and to my embassy.
Jeg har mødt repræsentanter fra jeres kirke, og jeg værdsætter meget den varme og den kærlighed, jeg har mødt fra jer.
So I would like to thank you all here sitting in this wonderful warm room.
Jeg ønsker at takke jer alle sammen, som sidder her i dette vidunderlige varme fællesskab.
For everything that you are doing, and I hope to remain in touch with you. Please, my embassy is, although it has heavy doors, it is open to you. To every one of you, if people call us and want to come and visit and sit over a cup of coffee, our coffee is terrible, but it's quite comfortable. It really is.
Jeg ønsker, I skal vide, at I er velkommen, hvad enten det er til en kop kaffe, I er velkommen til at ringe og kontakte os i ambassaden.
So you will be welcome there where the flag of Israel is flying in this friendly country.
Så uanset hvor, så vores flag det vejer, I er velkomne.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
So thank you, Mr. Ambassador, for this wonderful speech.
And especially for the last words, so kind and so gracious towards us here. And we don't know how we can in the best way express our love and concern for Israel and the Hebrew state. So now I'm asked to introduce the last two songs of the choir, yeah. And when we performed it in the desert, and I'm sorry I don't have the 12 Papuan dancers here, because they were dancing in their native dress, and they were dancing a special dance. And it was a clash of music, because they had all the jungle drums and all the flutes of the jungle. And then we had this little sort of church-like music from Bo. But this third song made the dancers dance like we do in the West a little, because it has quite another rhythm. And it was a song which was produced that the Western people should now ask the jungle people from the Papuan to dance their dance. And it bears this rhythm that you will hear now. And I can tell you that when the music was on its best, all the Papuan dancers, they started to move with this melody. And you are welcome tonight to move in the same way. And then the last song is a wonderful, I would say, a wonderful retelling of the story I just told you. And these words which I heard the rabbis say in the Temple Institute in Jerusalem: we do not weep because of the gold, but we weep because when they come from the distant islands, with gold, it's written in the book, with gold to the sanctuary, then Messiah is around the door. But first, the dance.
To the one who is alive, and who
many warm thanks to all the people from the Israeli embassy. We believe that this night means something special. We believe it will turn something. And we believe also that if Danish Christian people say we love God, can love God without loving his people. These two things are connected. If you love God, you have to love Israel. And the point of view you have, dear Ambassador, we share that. We can see that in the Bible. It's clear in the Old Testament. All is clear there. And when I heard about that night come to heaven, I said, we have the greatest thing in common that people can have. We have the same God. We believe the same God. And we also believe in the Old Testament. What is said there, it will come to pass. Israel will have peace. Jerusalem will come to live secure and in peace. And when we have the Israeli flag in the midst, we mean it is not, by incident. It means that we believe that Israel will be one of the leading nations one day when God's plan with this nation will come through. And all other nations will be blessed from Zion, from Israel. That's why we have the flag in the midst. We gather here. So, thank you very much. I hope we can make it another time, it's the same, see each other. And when you say you felt the warmth from us, we will thank you for the warmth we feel from you. It goes both ways. Thank you very much. And we'll sing a little song here. It's some both in English and in Danish. Stor din trofasthed. Og så skal vi synge alt hvad vi kan synge, ikke? Det er nummer 157. Og så synger vi. Og den er også. Den er også blevet nu delt ud på engelsk.
Here I jeg behøver. Trofaste Herre, hos dig har jeg ly. Nåde for synder og fred uden lige. Faderlig omsorg til støtte hos dig. Styrke for dagen og håb for i morgen. Alt er at skrive de ordet, du kan. Stor er din trofasthed, stor er din trofasthed. Dag efter dag giver du nåde på ny. Kærlige hænder giver alt jeg behøver. Trofaste Herre, hos dig har jeg ly. Stor er din trofasthed, stor er din trofasthed. Dag efter dag giver du nåde på ny. Kærlige hænder giver alt jeg behøver. Trofaste Herre, hos dig har jeg ly.
Det er noget, vi alle sammen kan synge, fordi det er den virkelighed, som vi oplever, har oplevet, oplever i dag og altid vil opleve. Vi ved godt, også ud fra det, vi har hørt her, at da tiderne skifter, og terrorismen den har ikke stoppet op. Skal jeg oversætte? Jamen, du kan. Det bliver ikke så mange ting. Men vi ved, at tiderne skifter.
Change. Times are changing.
Og terrorismen den stopper ikke på nuværende tidspunkt.
And the terrorists are continuing.
Og så vil jeg gerne sige, som Jeremias, profet Jeremias siger i klagesangene.
And the prophet Jeremiah said in the Old Testament.
At da han stod midt i det hele, hvor israelitterne lå der slagtet.
And he said, when the Israelis were laying there slaughtered,
some were taken in captivity. No, we're going to say, no, were taken in fangenskab.
Some were taken in captivity.
Og så videre. Der stod midt i alt den der store, dybe nød.
And when the need was most high, was worst.
Så løfter han sine øjne midt i alt det.
Then he lifted up his eyes.
Og siger, Gud, din miskundhed.
And he said, God, thy faith. He said, God, your faithfulness.
Han er ikke brugt op.
Is not ended.
Han er ikke til ende.
It's not ended, no.
Din nåde er ny i dag.
Your grace is new today.
Og din trofasthed, den vil vare ved.
Your faithfulness continues forever.
Og jeg tror, det skal vi tage med os, and den tid, vi lever i. Fordi uanset hvad der sker, så skal vi holde fast i det her. Det bliver et basis, noget stærkt i vores liv om. Uanset hvad der sker, vi kommer til at opleve. Det kommer også tættere på os.
And I believe that this is what is very important in this days that we live.
Ja, så kan vi sige det samme. Vor Gud svigter os ikke.
Then we can say the same. Our God isn't turning us down.
Han trofasthed. Vi var ved.
His faithfulness will continue.
Yeah. Thank you very much again to our dear friends here. We have some small gifts for you. Not big things, but they're given from the heart. And I hope you will enjoy them. Det er ikke jer, der skal have dem. Og så vil vi også sige tak. Så vil jeg også sige tak til vores kære venner her, Bo, og noget af den der team, fordi de kommer og var med her og gør den her aften til noget særligt. Jeg håber, vi kan gentage det. Vi tror lovsang, der herliggør Gud, der herliggør. Hvor Gud er det vigtigste, det er meget vigtigt i vores tid. Og så er der serveret ude bagved. Mange mennesker arbejder hårdt, og alt er bare gratis. Så vi skal bare nyde det og have et godt fællesskab. Og så skal vi lige tænke over vores kære venner her fra ambassaden. De kan jo ikke, snakke med alle sammen, så... Så vi bliver nødt til at nyde hinandens fællesskab også. Tak fordi I kom alle sammen. Jeg kender ikke alle der her, men jeg tror, vi har været glade for at være her. Jeg tror, vi har fået god udbytte af, og vi har følt os beriget netop ved at have en Herrens, Guds eget folk stående her. Det tror vi på betyder noget. Hvad vil du nu have? Vil du spille mere?
Det er bare sådan
hygge. Nå, ja. Jamen, det er så noget helt nyt, at menigheden er begyndt at få hyggepianister. Så vi tager det hele med. Jamen, velkommen til at nyde det ud bagved. Og så skal jeg også lige sige, at vi har gudstjeneste her i morgen formiddag kl. 11, hvor at Johnny Nord, han kommer og dele Guds ord med os. Jeg har lige plukket en lille høne. Jeg har ikke henvendt sig til mig den her gang, du ved. Så vi skal lige have snakket om det. Sådan. Men vi håber, at venskabet kan bevares trods vanskelighederne. Men vi er altså gudstjeneste her i morgen kl. 11, og alle er hjertelig velkomne.